Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
Such a great honor to be with you today, wherever you are, whatever is going on in your life and your world. It's just great to be together with you. As you know, my name is Ron Lewis, and I'm the senior minister of Every Nation New York City and all of our site churches. We help oversee and we serve, and our aim and ambition is to help the entire region of New York City, New Jersey to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference. That's who we are, and that's what we're all about. So we just pray right now that the Spirit of God will bless you this day as we get into His Word. We have a great word for you today, and I hope you'll be encouraged by what you're going to hear. With everything that's been going on in our world, and in particular New York City, as we know that our church family is multi-ethnic, multi-generational, multi-political persuasions, multi-socioeconomic backgrounds. We are different people. We're diverse. However, through Christ, we are together. And yet our diversity is often challenged, and our unity, rather, is often challenged during pandemic seasons and also election cycles. And that's why we need to get back to really what it means to be a follower of Jesus and really focus on that and maintain the bond of unity and the spirit of peace within our church family, within our body. And it's not only applicable to our church family, but also our family. I was walked in on my girls the other day, and they look so cute on Instagram, and they look like they're little angels and all that. But in real life, in real situations, they quibble, they quarrel, they have fights. The other day I walked in, and one was mad at the other, and I said, "Why are you mad?" And one of the twins said, "Well, she made my bed." I said, "She made your bed and you're mad at her?" That sometimes is how crazy it gets in our family and how crazy this world is. But we always come back together, we find peace, and we find the greatness and the blessing of God. And, you know, my main question that I want to answer today is really, how do we get back to the mission of God? How do we really, truly get back on purpose? And out of all the stuff that we've been through, COVID and tensions and the election and the diversity of thought within our very midst, and how do we really get back to the mission of God? That's our hope. That's our prayer. I believe a healthy church is one that leans into God and moves forward in His mission, regardless of the circumstances. Our series that we're in right now, Enthroned, is really underscores two immovable realities. Number one is that God is sovereign and He is in control. And that's the basic desire for this series, is for us to focus on God, to lean into God, to discover all over again how big God is, how powerful God is, how available God is. He sees you, He hears you, He knows you, and He's not letting go of you. And so our response is so critical that we respond to God and we say, "Yes, God," and we eventually get back on the mission of God. So it's that God is sovereign, and that's what the Bible teaches us about God, that God is enthroned over all. And secondly, the second thing is that, here's the other immovable reality, is that although God is sovereign, we have to participate in His plan. We're invited into His plan. We can't roll over, fall asleep, walk out on God. We can't be fatalistic. You know, fatalism is very simply the belief that all events are predetermined and inevitable, that it doesn't matter what we do, that God's still going to do it. And that's not what Scripture teaches us about God's being enthroned and in control. Matter of fact, Daniel 11:32 says, "The people who know their God shall be strong. They'll stand firm and they will take action." And that's the way it is in our lives. When we respond to God, we must take action on His word and enter into His mission. Now, here's a passage of Scripture about getting back on God's mission and getting back with God that is really relevant, I believe, for right here and right now. Here we go. We're going to read together from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 through 17. And I want to encourage you to read this. Pull out your iPhones or your Bibles, wherever you are. Push your coffee aside for just a second and grab hold of this word right here. "You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul, and keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. I want you to know that God is visiting us in a real way, in a tangible way, and He wants us to show forth the goodness of God through our good deeds. Be subject to the Lord's sake for to every human institution, not just divine institutions, but even man-made institutions, whether it be emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by Him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. There are three main points in this text that just stand out. They scream out of the text. I'm a real big believer in exegeting Scripture, pulling out, drawing out what's in there, and not eisegesis of the Scripture, reading in what I wanted to say. Let's pull out of Scripture and let God speak to us through His eternal Word. Here are the three key points. Number one is seek the well-being of others or find the common ground. Number two is honor authority. And three, share the gospel. Multiple times in this first point, you see in this passage, God saying in so many different ways that it's time for us to do good for other people. That is something that always pulls us into the mission of God and gets us out of the angst and the tension and the depression of the division and polarization, all of that. And so that is really critically important. And I believe Peter learned this from Jesus. You know, Peter was one of the best friends of Jesus, as you know, and he was close to Jesus, and he learned this from Jesus about doing good. And Jesus said it like this: let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. What is Jesus saying? What is Peter saying? He's saying that a good deed is more important than 1,000 tweets. You can talk all you want, but that never compares. Words are powerless compared to deeds. And Jesus is calling us to show forth the light of God, especially in times like these, as we find and really get into the reality of finding our neighbor and finding common ground with people, even within the body of Christ, finding common ground so that we too can be called peacemakers. Now, this whole idea of breaking into God's heart of unity and peace and getting along and loving others by breaking in, we must always look for common ground. And the only way we can do that is by being a peacemaker, by starting with love and not suspicion, starting with love and not hostility. We all have many opportunities on a daily basis to be mad at someone. I was walking out of my apartment door not long ago, and I left my apartment door, and the door swing came and it slammed the door. The neighbor comes out, starts screaming at us, and I wanted to scream right back at her and say, my family has a right to be here. I started thinking of all the things that I could be saying because she's treated us with so much disrespect at times just because we have children who make noises. And instead, in that very moment, it was like God just got a hold of me and said, don't go there. She's under a lot of stress. People have a lot of pressure these days. Forgive her and reach back to her. Find the common ground. And within like literally 2 minutes, it was all over. And we embraced, and it was, social distance embracing, if you will. We were right back where we needed to be. And this is our new reality and the new normal. We have to look every day for common ground, don't we? Don't you? Don't I? Of course we do. It's going to sound like an advertisement. Hey, do you want to stop being contentious, accusative, side-taking, and fault-finding? Dial this number. Find common ground. And that's really a big part of the message from God. and the message out of this book of Peter. I've ministered in nearly 30 nations. Every nation I go to, I need to find the common ground. It wasn't long ago that I was in India. And while in India, they asked me to change my message literally at the last minute because the host told me that he wanted me to preach out of the Bible. And the people who were over, the Christian people who were over, said, no, we can't do that on this university. We have to do something else. Within 5 minutes, I had to find, what can I say? I had a prepared message. It was my first time in India. I was leaning heavily into their advice on what to speak. I wanted to understand the ethos, the culture, and the laws and the situation. Well, fortunately, God gave me 5 minutes of time. I went to Google. I found out in that very province where I was that it's known as the rice bowl of all of India. And I was able to find common ground by talking to them about choices of how many different ways you can cook rice. I know it sounds trivial, but we found the common ground and we found the heartbeat of those people. And then from that moment, the media was there. They loved my message on making good choices, good decisions. They loved that. And many of them came back to the meeting that we had on campus. And it was the first time in history that an auditorium was filled with people. And there was an American evangelist there on campus preaching the gospel. And 50% of the people packed into that little auditorium that night met Jesus. All because of the grace of God, but also finding a common ground, finding that. We do it all the time. We find ways to find common ground. A very tragic situation happened in the nation of Pakistan where a sweet woman, a very poor mother who was a very simple Christian woman in a nation that is not very friendly oftentimes to Christians. And she simply was walking home one day in the month of June many years ago, and she took a drink of water out of someone's well, and she didn't know, but it was the well of someone who charged her with blaspheme of the Prophet Muhammad because she drank out of that well one little bit of out of a tin cup. And she was accused of blaspheming Muhammad. And as a result, she went to prison and was on trial literally for 10 years, waiting to be heard while she was awaiting capital punishment of being hung. And this sweet woman was crying out to God, and the whole community was. And as a result, there was a heartbroken situation as we realized multiple things there, the injustice towards the poor, the injustice against the Christians, so many things were going on. And God used that woman to inspire our team in Pakistan to say, why don't we give water away to everyone in our nation? Let's give water to the Hindus, to the Muslims, to the Christians, to the animists, to the atheists. Let's give water. Jesus wants us to give something and find the common ground of water. They were drinking, they were going to wells that were polluted, there was disease, all these situations, and that's exactly what we did. And I want you to hear the story of Asia Bibi. She's going to share a brief piece now that she is completely exonerated, not only out of prison, but by the grace of God, out of that nation, and she's in a safe place. Here's her, just a 90-second version of her all-important story to tell. Watch this.
I called for peace. I called for peaceful coexistence. That is the message of Jesus Christ. That is also the message of the Holy Prophet Muhammad. We should all live together in harmony. I do wish to clarify that these women were settling a score. There was a running feud with the head of my village. This man had previously insulted my daughters. These women who accused me, they insulted me as well. I felt offended. The abuse had been going on for a year. And they used a drink of water as an excuse, claiming I was forbidden to drink from the same cup as Muslims, saying I was unclean, I was accused of blasphemy, I was incarcerated for 10 years. By the grace of God, I have now been acquitted. My name has been cleared. I cherish this freedom. I knew I had spoken the truth. I knew I had said nothing wrong. My faith was strong. I had done nothing wrong. I was convicted even though I was innocent, and I knew God would set me free.
Asia Bibi is such an inspiration. I hope you'll take the time to watch that entire 10-minute interview on France 24. Powerful moment with this woman. She inspired us to get busy and to do something to find common ground. And now, by the grace of God and through many partners and many helpers, we together have been able to install over 130 water pumps in that nation. And we've been going from village to village and town to town saying, water is free, come and drink. And right on the backside of that, our team is sending in evangelists to go in and preach the gospel and start churches. And there have been multiplied hundreds of churches have started. Why? Something as simple as a water pump. The grace of God uses common ground to achieve and accomplish the desires of our Heavenly Father. You know, back to, you know, just practically speaking and the area of common ground, don't you love it? You probably saw it, how Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away. They told the story of how she and an unlikely man on the Supreme Court bench, also a Justice Scalia, how they became best friends and how they would always double date. They found common ground over restaurants, over food, over wine, over opera, over Broadway, so many ways that they found common ground, became best friends, and on the bench, they were called the odd couple. Their ideology was so different. They always voted differently, but they remained best friends. That is a message that we desperately need today. We need that. We need to see more examples like that. Let's go to real quickly to our second point. And that is, on three occasions, this text tells us to honor those in authority. It specifically says in verse 17 to honor the emperor. So, you know, at difficult times in our lives, we don't want to honor those in authority. We want to challenge them. We want to speak against them. Now, you know, it's important that we know that honor doesn't always mean that we agree with our parents, that we agree with our bosses, that we agree with our political leaders. It doesn't say that we have to agree. It's just that we hold them in a place of respect and esteem because of their position. In the words of this theologian, Dr. Barclay, the biblical emphasis on honoring others has everything to do with the biblical command to honor God. And when we honor God, we will honor people. We will respect people. And man, this is something that is so critically important because this very text tells us how bad their circumstances were. How Christians, and when Peter wrote this, the emperors were definitely persecuting Christians. He would literally martyr some of the Christians as a show, so to speak, and put them on display so that people would be afraid to be Christians by literally torching them along the Roman roads as they were dying a horrible death. They became tiki torches. Why would Peter say to honor anyone like that? It was the principle of change, the principle we know that some of us will be martyred and some of us will pay that ultimate price, but all of us are called to deny ourselves and go pick up our crosses and follow Jesus. That is how we get back on mission, by honoring God. And as a result of honoring God, we will also honor people and see their lives get changed. There's no other way. We don't ever win anyone over by being against them. We only win people over by honoring them before God, not agreeing with them. And this is so true in the world of politics and how so many Christians have been taken up and caught up into the social media persuasion and letting pundits and letting trolls and others begin to influence them more than the Bible influences them. I am a back to the Bible person. Why? I believe the Bible is the Word of God. And I believe the Word of God will never lead me astray, will never harm me, will never confuse me, as long as I take it in the proper context and exegete Scripture carefully. This is not a call to submit with blindness. This is not a call to just do whatever you're told. No, not at all. It's a different call, though. It's a call that we don't go into the rank and file of criticism, judgmentalism, tribalism, favoritism, racism. We don't go to any of those places. We go out of such an honor of God and respect for the creator of the universe that we look at people with a different lens. We look at everyone differently, including our political leaders. Here we are in this election cycle, and it's one more four-year trial of, like, here we go again. People polarized and blaming each other and pointing fingers and all of that that's going on. But what should we be doing as Christians? How do we stay on the mission of God? We keep the big picture in mind. This too shall pass. And it's already passing again. Here we are in another cycle. And maybe you're one who did or did not like our president. But my question is, do you honor them? Or maybe you do or you do not like the president-elect, but do you honor them? Do you pray for them? I love the words of Paul who said, I want you to pray for those in authority. And he said, pray. Now, Christians were this small, hated minority working for a gospel peace in amidst a hostile government, not just a government that got on our nerves, but a hostile government. And although they had no budget, no political power, no buildings, they turned the world upside down. They prayed and they knew God and they took action. And the action was transformational. I just mentioned social media and I do want to quote Tristan Harris, who says, algorithms don't challenge confirmation bias, they fuel it. They fuel confirmation bias, the algorithms. And he calls what's happening with these algorithms, what it's doing to our conversation, he's calling it the downgrading of humanity. Believers, people of God, children, youth, we have a better path. It's the God way. Let your light so shine. Don't curse the darkness. Light a candle. Let your light shine. And when you honor God, you honor the King. And when we do that, we have a stronger unity in our lives. We totally pray for change and transformation. Absolutely. We pray for that first and foremostly in our own lives. Self-government should be the first kind of government that we look at. Am I governing myself, then my family, then my community, my relatives, my tribe, my village, my city, my state, my nation, and the world? God wants us to have an impact. And it begins really right where you live. Honor and respect doesn't first start on Twitter or Instagram. It starts in your life and in your home, in my life, in my home. And God help me to be upbuilding and uplifting with my family every day of my life. I know you feel that way too. We're going to close with preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. The gospel is the only answer for our world today. The hope of the world, whether we're in the first century or the 21st, is not found in our political decisions, but the power of Christ through His people. That's our hope. That's our great hope. Whether you're one who's rejoicing in the new election season or you're lamenting, our great hope, don't lose sight of this, our great hope is in the living God and that the gospel will go forth. You've heard much about policies and laws and how important they are, and I agree to that. They do have the power to restrain and redirect. Oh my, so important who we vote for and how we vote and how we view things, of course. But policies and laws have no power to transform our thoughts, our actions, and most importantly, our hearts. That's what the gospel does. The gospel is of ultimate importance. You know, you think about the fight against drugs or racism or abortion or whatever it is that you're passionate about or things that we know are wrong. When you think about those things, laws and policies may redirect, they may challenge, but they don't change. You can have all the laws against drugs and people still do illegal drugs. You know what I'm talking about. Now, the gospel changes hearts and it breaks down walls in our lives. That's why we're together, because the gospel brought us together and the Holy Spirit is building us into a community of people where the walls of hostility have been broken down. The first church, the big wall was the Jew and the Gentile, broken down through Jesus' death on the cross. He broke that wall of hostility and he brought the Jews and Gentiles together. And you see it reflected in some of the first churches that began to pop up, and it's a beautiful thing. And that's what we have. This text started In 1 Peter 2:9 says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him. That's Jesus. Proclaim the excellencies of Jesus. Proclaim that who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Proclaim it. Say it. Jesus brought me out of darkness. Jesus brought me out of sin. Jesus brought me out of dysfunction. And that's our great hope. Ultimately, we really do need to get back on the mission of God by pointing to Jesus. He's our Savior. He's our Redeemer. He's our healer. He's our very best friend. He's our sacrificial lamb. He is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the wonderful Counselor, our eternal God, and the lifter of our souls this very day. The Scripture plainly reminds us that our great hope is in God. Greater than a man-made policy or an outcome, greater than anything that we have to offer, the gospel of God, where God sent Jesus to rescue us. And the Scripture now reminds us, we do not have an enduring city, instead we seek the one to come. When we forget that our ultimate citizenship is in heaven, we have made politics or other ideologies our religion. Let's not forget, let's go back to God. In this hour, let's get back on the mission to God in this season of our lives. Let's get back to God. Let's come back to God. Let's pray. Let's humble ourselves. Let's repent of our sins. Let's repent of our fault-finding ways, of keeping scorecards, of loving things before we love people. Let's get on the mission. And how do we do that? We can find common ground with everyone. Secondly, we honor the king. We honor the emperors. I pray for our president. And now, for the first time in this season, I'm praying for our president-elect. And I'm praying for everyone. Why? Because God told me to. That's why. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't even care about it. But I do. I want to care about things that make a difference in our world, in our society, according to Scripture. I do. Now, most importantly, and the final point, is that we need to live out the gospel. We need to speak it, share it, live it out, and ultimately look to Jesus, who brings us to a better place, a better city, a better people, and a better life. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank You for this day and Your grace upon our lives. And Jesus, we turn to You. And as we turn to You, Lord, we're coming back to the mission that You called each and every one of us individually to a mission. Help me not to miss my mission, God. I pray that You would help me and equip me. And Lord, everyone who's viewing today, help them to get back on mission, making disciples, sharing the good news, extending a hand, finding common ground, doing water pumps, visiting the prisoners, helping the homeless, doing the mission that You've called us to. And it begins, we know, Lord, in our home. I speak blessing and life over you. Please text our number here if you want to